Right then, it feels a bit weird because when I stand up here, I want to just make everyone laugh and not really communicate anything that I feel God is saying. So it's a bit weird, that is, but we're going to do our best today. Can't guarantee it. It'd have been slightly easier if I remembered my notes, but we'll try without. When I was sitting there drumming earlier, I was reminding me of a time not so long back when I was thinking, well, am I going to get through this? I'm a bit nervous, I'll be honest with you. Am I going to get through this? And all I was thinking about is my lunch. I thought that's the way to do it. That reminded me of a time not so long back when I had a small procedure at the hospital. And all I was thinking was about my tea. I'll be honest with you, that went worse than expected. So hopefully I won't be feeling this for the next 3 weeks either. What I'm going to talk about this morning is what I've discovered two key drivers for church growth. We're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to talk about what I think there are two key things that, as we grow into the next phase, two key things we should just bear in mind. One is very practical, so we're going to go through something very practical, and then we're going to go talk about the presence, which I think is the other one. So there's a few things that we're looking at the minute. We're looking at loads of ways where people can connect with us a lot more. So we're looking at going to two Sunday meetings from next week, which I'll be honest with you, is my idea. So if you don't like it, sorry about that. But if you think it's the greatest thing in the world ever, two meetings on a Sunday, then perhaps you'd like to tell me. No one's told me yet, but I think it's what God said. And I think that judging by the number of people here today, I think we need to create some more space for people to get into the kingdom and to know Jesus and get in a relationship with Jesus. It's not about the numbers. In some respects, but I think it's people say it's not about the numbers, it's about people's personal relationship with Jesus, but what I think is it's about the numbers, because God said go out into all the world, etc., the Great Commission, and make disciples. So if it's not about the numbers, then if nobody becomes a Christian, then there's no numbers, are there? So it's about the numbers for me. Just to remind you, Cafe Mosaic next Saturday night, this is one of the things we've created, which is designed for people to easily get a first taste of what it is to become a Christian and what it is to know Jesus. So that's next Saturday night. We've got some magic tricks or illusions, as you might like to call them. Got a great bit of food. It's really, if you've been before to one of the Cafe Mosaic specials, really relaxed nights. It's a lot of fun, hopefully. And it's just a first taste of Christians are not boring, Christians are normal, we can get into a relationship with God and still be reasonably sane. Gazoo is something that's starting again. Gazoo is the new version of Wildlife, if you didn't know. Kirsty's got a load of access into schools. She went into school on Friday with Terry, I think, and they've got so many opportunities on Malvern Park, especially at the minute, to do lessons and school assemblies run up to Christmas. They're asking them to do loads of stuff. That's really good. Gazoo is starting on October the 8th for Christian kids and non-Christian kids. It's going to be fantastic, that is. Just to remind you, on next Saturday morning, do you want to say something, Owen, or shall I say it? I'll say it now. I'll have me here. On the precinct next Saturday morning, 10:30, we're going to go out there and we're going to do some, got a couple of bit of escapology. Jacob's going to do some escapes. We've got some little business card type things to give away. I should have brought some this morning, my fault. Basically, just to announce to Kirby that we're going to go to two meetings. We've spoken to the Chad. Waiting for the Chad to come back to me with about just getting word out that there's something exciting going on in Kirkby. Because when I spoke to the Chad reporter, I said, I've got something that might be of a news story for you. He said, what is it? I said, the church in Kirkby is going to two Sunday meetings because we're at capacity. And I thought I'd been cut off. But it appeared he was just waiting for me to say something else. But we're trying to get the word out there that something exciting. Kirkby, as in the papers, it does, and in the general feed of things, Kirkby's not always seen as a hugely great place. But we're trying to say that there is something good going on in Kirkby, and we'd like to tell a few people about it. So if you can join us at 10:30 on the precinct next Saturday morning, we're giving away balloons, chocolates, that sort of thing. So that should be a great time. Another thing I've thought about is the Moan social groups. When we did the Count Me In thing at the when we communicated the vision, we did this Count Me In sheet, and about 50% of the people, I think it was mainly the men, put but they'd like to be involved with kind of men's groups. There's some statistics that say if the husband, the father, finds Jesus and comes into church, then basically you're more likely to get the rest of the family than if they're kind of the woman or the kids did it. And then after the men, it's the kids, then it's the woman. So my philosophy is a bit like the school when we had double science, got two GCSEs. So that's the one I revised for because you got two grades for it. So if a man comes to find Jesus, then you're likely to get the family as well. So high five, good result, yeah. Christmas is also something that J. John's an evangelist, very famous evangelist. I've heard of him anyway, and he talked about Christmas being a real key time to communicate the gospel. So that is something we're going to really focus on up until Christmas. Now, these are just my ideas, so if anybody else had some great ideas in the way we can communicate the gospel to the people in Kirkby and the surrounding areas, please let me know, and we'll add them into the calendar. But this is just what we're going to do up until Christmas. Sound good, yeah? Yes, and it doesn't mean everyone has to do everything, but if you find something on there you want to get involved with, feel free to get involved. So when we're talking about, for me, and I'm not an expert in this at all, and I wouldn't profess to be, but I've had a revelation here, I believe, and I'm going to share the revelation with you shortly, but it's all based around this. It's all based around the Great Commission. That's quite small, but it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. That's one of my favorite Bible verses, that is, because I think it sums up what we as a church, part of what we as a church should really be doing. Right, so now I've read the Bible, now I'm going to go something a bit more practical. What I'm going to do is, and this is a revelation, I might be telling you something you already know here, but this revelation I've had is a real practical way, and I'm not saying I'm an expert at all because I'm rubbish at this, but I'm looking to improve, and I've found this way, this kind of strategy in my head, which I think is perhaps, I might write a book about this later, but in the minute, I think it's just a revelation God's given me on how easy it is to talk to your friends about Jesus. And basically it's around the used car sales process. So if we've got the first one there, Simon. Basically, telling someone about Jesus is a bit like selling them a used car. Okay? And I'm gonna illustrate this to you now, and what I'm gonna do is some of you may not know, but I have a background in used car selling. But I've been forgiven for all the lies, and now I'm a Christian and I work in a bank where I don't tell any lies at all. But if I do, I'll say sorry afterwards. I've asked Tony to help me with this because I know that Tony has recently been involved in assisting with a car with Pam and Gary. I thought, who better to try this technique on than Tony? So Tony, if you'd like to join us for a second, big round of applause for Tony. Now, I've only just sprung this on Tony because I think if I told him earlier, he wouldn't have come. So we've got Tony. All right, Tony?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well, basically, this is I've stolen this from the Hartwell. I used to work for Hartwell Garages Limited, based in Oxford. And Vauxhall Garage in Mansfield was one of theirs, not anymore. It's Pentagon, owned by Pendragon. Fantastic. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go you through this process, and I'm going to illustrate it with Tony. Then I'm going to tell you why I think this relates to telling someone about Jesus. So what happens is Tony's standing by his car here, and I'm the salesman. Tony walks into the dealership. He's standing by a blue Corsa. Okay, yeah. So I call to Tony, and it could have been an Agila. It could have been. I call to Tony, and I say to Tony, "Hi there, how are you doing?"
I'm very well, thank you. Very well. Although technically I'm sat in it now.
I see you're looking at a Corsa. This is obviously the kind of car you're looking at. Come here and I'll show you a real great one inside.
Ooh, excellent.
So then I walk away, and then Tony has to really follow me, or he's just left standing there by the car. This is a great technique. And if you've ever bought a car, you might have seen this. This is how the real pros do it.
They don't do this at available car.
They're not real salesmen there. So then Tony follows me, and he I sit him down, get him a nice hot cup of coffee. You can sit down, nice hot cup of coffee, because then he has to stay with me for a good period of time, because the coffee's too hot to drink. So he has to sit there and listen to me for a bit. Yeah, you seen that work there? So then Tony's sitting there. And then my job then is to make him feel really welcome. And that's one of the things in church, as we more and more people coming into church, one of the key things is that we make them feel welcome. Nothing worse than coming in and just feeling like you're on your own or isolated or whatever. So whenever we're speaking to someone, first of all, we've got to be welcoming. That's phase one of the sales process. Phase two is building rapport. So I've got to find something that Tony and I have an common interest in. Did you watch Match of the Day last night, Tony?
No, I didn't. I missed it. Don't know why.
Okay, I'm a keen Liverpool fan. How about yourself?
I was when we were brilliant. Okay,
So I've got to find something that Tony and I have in common. So we're building rapport. So he now likes me. He's come in thinking I'm a used car salesman trying to rip him off, which I am. But now we've got a bit of rapport there. So after we've got the general rapport there, we have to go into the qualification or the quantification phase now. So now I ask Tony a series of questions, which really gives me an understanding, a deep insight to what makes Tony tick. What's your favourite colour, Tony?
It should be red.
Red. So I'm asking a few questions. I'll throw that one in. He won't even notice that I've asked him that one. But I've asked him a few like that. And I find out a bit about his hobbies, his interests, his family situation, his work, all that sort of thing. Which, again, if I'm building a relationship with somebody, then I'm going to ask similar questions to get to know them. I'm not going to go straight in and say, Tony, do you want a £6,000 Corsa in blue with a 1.2 SXI 16-valve sports seats, air conditioning, and extra, but it's worth having, 9 airbags, etc. I'm not going to go straight in there. I'm going to just kind of get to know him first. And I think when we're telling people about Jesus, we get to know someone first, don't we? Next one. The presentation. Now, this is an interesting one. When I come to Tony, and I've just quantified what his interests, hobbies, etc. are. So I come to Tony, and I found out that he's a keen golfer. He looks like a key golfer. Tony loves his golf. Absolutely loves his golf. So then what I would do is I would present Tony a car that has a big enough boot to fit his golf clubs in. Yeah? So I say to Tony, when I'm showing him around the car, I'll say to Tony, look at this car here, Tony. It's got a big boot. That would be excellent for putting your golf clubs in. And first of all, I'm showing him the right car, but I'm also demonstrating to him something that is of interest to him, rather than going through the fuel consumption figures, because that might not be something that interests Tony. So when I'm telling someone, a friend, about Jesus, then what I would do is highlight an element of the gospel or something that church has which would be of interest to Tony, rather than going straight down into something that is less of an interest to Tony. This sounds a bit like a formula and sounds a little bit non-Christian, but I think we can use some of the aspects of the real world in actually communicating gospel and Jesus. So next one. The demonstration. I don't know how you demonstrate Jesus, but I'm sure that when Tony goes out, he has a demonstration, and we demonstrate Jesus in the way we live, I guess. The trial close. This is an interesting one, because when you're in a test drive with someone, what you might find is that as you pull back into the dealership, the salesperson, if they're worth their money, will say these words. They'll say, "Is the car okay for you, etc." And you find out the car has the car. If I can get the right deal for you, will you buy the car today?
They did that.
They did that. That's a classic car sales process. Now, this one, how does this relate to someone becoming a Christian? You've got to ask somebody if they want to either come to an event, or you've got to kind of... We were at... we were doing a party for some friends of Noah's and the kids' family last Saturday, and we were amazed at how little they knew about kind of what our church was like. We were in the next door, and I was setting some stuff up, and they said, "Do you have a band at church?" "Yeah, we have a band." "Yeah, because I think we're going to be taking for granted that what some of the things that we do within our church setting, we assume everyone knows what we do. But I just think that we need to kind of tell people what we do, and then we have to say, I mean, Kirsty was probably guilty of this. She probably should have said then, "Would you like to come to our church?" Kirsty, yeah? Yeah, she probably thought, yeah. So anyway, we've got to... Let me tell you what I say. I mean, that's when she could have used the trial close there brilliantly. Then following the trial close, you get into the negotiation phase. And this for me is, I mean, obviously in the car saying it's, they want to hammer you down on part exchange price, they want to negotiate various monthly payments, etc. When you're talking about Jesus, you want to be in a situation where they may have questions about what it is to be a Christian. They might want to know a bit more about church. They might want to come to a Cafe Mosaic, which is a kind of an easy access point. And then once they 100% know, or not 100% know, but they've got enough of an understanding, then you can do the close, which is then telling them about how they actually become a Christian, and that's when they decide to become a Christian. So that for me was an absolute revelation, and I'm going to try that out at work tomorrow, and I'll let you know how next week how I got it. Thanks, Tony. That was appreciate that. I'll be trying that out, and I will let you know how I get on next week. So then I thought to myself, when I was looking at this, I thought, well, if I'm going to be start telling more people about Jesus, then what I need to really understand is, what is the gospel? When I was sitting there thinking, what is the gospel? This isn't the exclusive gospel. Well, exclusive gospel, if you know what I mean. This is not all of the gospel, but these things stood out to me of the process of what the gospel of Jesus is. And these are keys, I think, to what the gospel is. So Jesus was, in the Old Testament, Isaiah, etc., it says that for unto us a child is born, etc., and it talks about that there is going to be the Messiah. The Messiah is coming. And then Jesus arrived as prophesied. Jesus lived a sin-free life without kind of any fault whatsoever. And then he came, he died for us, he rose again, then he ascended to heaven. And the death and resurrection of Jesus made it possible for me to live live forever in a relationship with God. And then Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us to live the kind of life which is pleasing to us. So, I mean, that just excites me so much when you... I think when I was looking at this last night, I had another kind of understanding of really what that meant. That Jesus did die for me, and he sent his Spirit to kind of be with us. That I think will help me tomorrow when I'm trying to sell somebody Jesus. The other aspect of that was practical, and it was there's many ways to tell people about Jesus. A load of stuff we're putting in the diary, etc. But I just, from my point of view, I just want to get better and better at communicating to me Jesus in the way I live and also in what I do. The other aspect I want to look at just briefly is the presence. I think there are two keys, I think, to the church growing. And I'm about church growing. I brought what I thought was a word about 3 months ago, our breakthrough. We talked about then that the church has been kind of 150 people for... as long as I can remember, the church has never kind of broken through that 150 people kind of thing. I mean, throughout the life of the church, there's probably been, about 1,000 plus people probably been part of the church, and they've gone off for various reasons. We've moved, we've come to Kirby, we've been to Ravenshead. And I believe that there is, we need to break through these 150 kind of people. It's not a barrier, I guess, but it just, there's a number of, I think we've got to get, breaking through that 150 people is key. That's why I said 3 months ago that I felt kind of 3 months will be a time when we start to break through. So I'm still praying for that. And I think part of that is going to the two meetings. I don't think two meetings will solve it, because if all goes according to plan, then I believe that we'll probably have to be looking for a kind of bigger venue in the not too distant future. And that's what I'm praying for. So the keys are, I think, the two key drivers I'm talking about are practically telling more people about Jesus. Friendships, etc., giving more opportunities for people we don't know to get to know Jesus. I think the friendship evangelism is part of it with your friends. I also think promoting the church, getting people through the doors so that God can impact them, and the presence of God and the Holy Spirit can have an impact, have a revelation in their lives. So I'm going to quickly look at the day of Pentecost, because this is the prime example, I think, of this early church. It's kind of when they first established the church, and it's also when the Holy Spirit arrived. So I think one of the keys is the Holy Spirit coming and all that entails. So I just want to look at that for a second. I'm going to read that bit, because I think it's fantastic, about when the Holy Spirit came, day of Pentecost. This is shortly after I think at the back of Luke, I think it says, Jesus said to the disciples, go and wait in the city until kind of the Holy Spirit comes. So they're waiting in the Holy Spirit, waiting for the Holy Spirit. They're in the upper room. They're having a meeting or whatever. And then the Holy Spirit comes. So it says here, when the Feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, a gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they were on the run. And then when they heard one after another their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on, and kept saying, aren't these all Galileans? How come they're hearing them talking our various mother tongues? Various people there. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head nor tail of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? Others shout. They're drunk on cheap wine. Peter speaks up. Then, that's when Peter stood up and, backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency. Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red. Before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvellous, and whoever calls out for help to me, God will be saved. Then it carries on a bit. And then this last bit says that everyone around was in awe, all those wonders and signs done through the apostles, and all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources, so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful, as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. Every day their numbers grew as God added those who were saved. Just put the rest on the downside of the top. That last paragraph there is what church is about for me. Not necessarily selling all your things, but making sure that no one goes without. But that for me is just fantastic. So basically, down there, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoken tongues. There was a sound that attracted a crowd. I want there to be a sound in here that attracts a crowd and what we do. Miracle, initial miracle. People didn't understand initially, and some made fun. Lack of understanding and making fun. I'm sure that that's something that we may experience, or I may have experienced in the past. Peter then explained what was going on and then presented the gospel. People then asked Peter what they should do. Peter said, repent and baptize and will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They listened to the teaching, spent time praising, broke bread, ate together, gave to everyone who had a need. This is what happened in the early church. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done, and the Lord added to their number daily. I mean, those last three are three things that I'm praying for that we'll see in this next phase, that we'll see many wonders and miraculous signs, which I believe we will, and God will add to our numbers daily those who are being saved, which is what it's all about. So that's fantastic, and that's really is what I believe is going to happen. Next one, Simon. So what the Holy Spirit, I think the Holy Spirit, we need to do all the practical things. And when I was looking at the kind of church strategy and I was coming up with these ideas, well, let's go quad biking with the men, let's have Cafe Mosaic, let's do Christmas parties and all this sort of thing. What I thought, they're great things to do, I'm sure they are, but most important thing is that we, God's involved and the Holy Spirit is the centre of what we do. So when the Holy Spirit's around, it talks about in Acts 4 that he gave Peter the words to say, I could do some more Holy Spirit right now then. But he gave Peter the words to say. The words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of encouragement, healing, prophetic words, and revelation. I believe that as we kind of soak ourselves in the Holy Spirit more and more, that these things then will become more and more normal in our everyday lives. This is something I was thinking about more recently also, about the Holy Spirit, when I was thinking, well, can I get more of the Holy Spirit in my life? It's not easy with three children. Anyone who's got three children will realise, or any one children, I think it's bad. It's not easy with kids. And last Sunday morning, when I was getting ready to come to church, and they were driving me completely up the wall, I had none of these. It struck me that perhaps what I should have done is just taken 5 minutes out and then ask for the Holy Spirit to come and help me, because as a parent, I mean, that's the list of what, that's, I mean, I talked to them on the second list of what I do, but those things there. So I think as we ask for more of the Holy Spirit, these things will then be evident, because I believe that as we're filled with the Holy Spirit daily, then some of these things will be more evident in our lives. This is it. We're almost there. Home stretch. Thank you. I'm going to have my lunch now. The two key drivers that I've identified, you may think differently. Practically, what we should be welcoming. So as we see new people coming into the church, as the church grows, we need to always remain welcoming, inclusive, etc. Building rapport, just being open with people and kind of having some fun with people. Look at what's important to that person. With people, an example of this might be that someone, you come across someone who's lonely. They feel excluded, they feel isolated. Then what's one of the things that, as a church, then we can include people, get people to feel part of the family, etc. Ask. That's a tricky one. We often assume that people will come to us and say, oh, can I come to your church? If they find out we're a Christian, we go to church, they might say, we assume that they'll say, oh, can I come along to your church? Or we assume that they won't want to come to our church. Then it's asking people, be ready to give an answer. That's the negotiation phase. In terms of presence, I believe that we should be more and more filled with the Holy Spirit daily. I mean, I'm going to I'm going to make it my business as I get in my car. I normally get in my car and I say, good morning, God, shortly before I put the radio on. Ask God to fill me with the Holy Spirit daily. Expect to hear words of knowledge and wisdom, etc., and then be ready to say what we've heard. This is not me. This is what I want. This is what I aspire to be. I think if I do this, I'm hoping to see some real changes in my life and in what's going on outside of there. And I think there's one final slide. This is what I'm going to start doing, and feel free to join me in this. I'm going to ask God for opportunities to talk to my friends and people in community about him. I'm going to look for those opportunities. I'm going to expect to have opportunities. Hopefully I'm going to take the opportunities. I'm going to welcome the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to be more and more filled with the Holy Spirit, hopefully daily as I go. That's all I've got to say.